This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and I'm Jeff Sandhu, sitting in for Frida Liu. It's a bit of a first here on Tech Talk and I kind of wish that Frida was here to see this. This week, Matt Armitage from Culture Pop is going to be laying down the law, the kind of laws that may be governing in its future. Matt, is this all some kind of science fiction that you dreamed of?
It could be. Hey, Jeff. I was scanning this week's New Scientist and I came across a great article about laws of the future. So, you know, on this show, we kind of moan that laws are a bit slow adapting to new technology, that lawmakers tend to be behind the curve. But there is actually a legal movement that spends its time debating what kind of laws would apply in various kind of science fiction and futuristic scenarios. And yes, it's very, very geeky, but it's actually a lot more fun and useful than it sounds.
So if I marry a Klingon priestess and we eventually split up, who gets the custody of the kids?
Well, with a bit of luck, they're worrying about something a little bit more than your kind of sordid fantasies. But, you know, we already have a generation of scientists who's working hard to create the technologies that they saw in their favorite TV shows when they were growing up. So by the same token, why wouldn't a bunch of lawyers with the same cultural influences be doing the same kind of thing?
But at least, you know, the scientists, they're trying to create something useful. Is there any use for what these lawyers are doing, you know? Couldn't we use technology to replace them and save some money ourselves?
Well, as the New Scientist notes, the printing press, when it was invented in the 15th century, 16th century, was supposed to bring an end to the profession of lawyers. The idea was that if people were able to read the law, if it was no longer cloaked in mystery and in arcane books, then no one would need lawyers anymore.
But the Indians came along.
Well, precisely. So, you know, we can see how much of that came true. And besides, even a robot lawyer would need laws to govern his behavior. And we all know from the Terminator movies, you don't want robots writing their own rules.
Is this really any use?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look back through history and it's full of laws that had to be repealed and new laws that had to be enacted because of new technology. So, again, New Scientist uses a couple of good examples. First of a law that had to be repealed. Back in the way back when, US law used to extend property rights to the sky above your land, which meant, of course, that the first generation of aircraft was effectively trespassing on hundreds or even thousands of people's properties, which in the US probably gave some squirrel eater the right to shoot your plane out of the sky. So obviously that had to be changed and resolved. By the same token, in the UK, early motor cars were required by law to have some bloke walk in front of them waving a flag. So it was to warn pedestrians oncoming traffic. Mm. So imagine the excitement of F1 with a bunch of flag-waving people jogging in front of the cars. That could be more interesting than F1 is now. But, you know, and bringing it up to the present day, you know, we're not even going to start talking about laws like PIPA and SOPA and all of these kind of hysterical copyright and IP protection laws that they've tried to enact that are actually against the interests of people.
So who are these futuristic lawyers?
Well, they're like the superheroes of the legal profession. You know, by day they help people buy and sell houses or agree contracts or settle disputes in court. And by night they debate robot law, Asimov, and the ethics of gene switching and stem cell technologies.
And is this an actual growing legal thing?
Totally. It's spawned a worldwide movement with its own conferences. The whole thing was started around a pool at a traditional legal conference in the Dominican Republic. So nice setting for it. And these guys, they know who and what they are. They know they're geeks and they're not ashamed of it. And that's actually why they've called their association Geeky, G-I-K-I-I. And they have their own website, geeky.org. So the events that they've been holding in Europe, it's already spreading to the US and Asia. So this is actually a movement that's very much growing.
And why shouldn't we be bored by this?
Because although it's kind of serious and it's, you know, it's a bit technical and it's a bit dry, it's also ridiculous. take that Jude Law movie, Repo Men, that came out a couple of years ago. So people lease replacement organs from a shady company. And when they fall behind on the payments, the repo men come and take them back. They literally cut them out. So while that makes for a great, if a little bit gory and confused movie, there are actually a number of legal precedents working in this area. So you can't repossess the organs because you're committing assault, you're committing bodily harm, and in most cases, manslaughter and murder. And again, while it sounds silly to be talking about this because it is just a movie, we're actually not very many years away from robotic or DNA-grown replacement organs. And the first generation of these organs is likely to be very, very expensive, so expensive that we're likely to have to pay for them with installment plans. Mm. So you have to think about what happens if you default on your repayment. Who owns those robo-lungs that are keeping you alive? Can the company refuse to service them? Can they void the warranty? Can they simply switch them off if you don't make the payment? So there is a necessary side to all of this.
Mm. What kind of things that don't need new laws?
Okay, the Internet of Things probably doesn't need much in the way of legislation. So take autonomous cars, for example. Mm. You might think there would need to be all kinds of new laws relating to them. For example, you know, who's going to be responsible for if one of the cars hits you? So a guy called Burkhard Schaefer at the University of Edinburgh, he reckons we've got it covered, and actually from a very unlikely source. So he reckons a Google car is pretty much like a horse. Yeah, I can see your face crinkling up there. The reasons are it possesses a limited amount of intelligence and a limited amount of ability to act independently. But because horses were our main means of transport for thousands and thousands of years, we have our laws on them pretty much well defined. So for example, in Malaysia, I can't honestly say about Malaysia, but I imagine it would be the same. There is actually a really extensive framework to rely on of laws relating to horses. So for example, if a horse takes fright or moves off suddenly, it's the owner's responsibility if it hits a pedestrian. If a pedestrian hovers around the horse, gets too close or provokes it, then it's generally, you know, your own fault that you got kicked. So while you're not very likely to provoke a car, if you move out in front of it as it pulls off, it's pretty straightforward. That's going to be your own fault. And because all of these old laws, they tend not to be removed from statute books. You know, we like to add rather than subtract things when it comes to the law. The framework is simply waiting for the robot cars to roll off the production line.
So what needs new laws?
Couple of things. Very important things. Teleportation, for one. So, you know, what happens if you teleport back without a body part or it gets mangled in the process? Who's going to be liable? What if that box of fresh raspberries turned to puree when they were reconstituted? You know, it's better to start thinking of these things now. Again, it might sound like science fiction, but who knows? There might be some egghead who's experimenting with this, and he could start beaming himself around by this time next year. Mm. We never know when these technologies are going to launch. And if you're the person who ends up with your, you know, genitals grafted to your head, you're going to want to know who you can sue. And finally, robots. So we've talked about robotic cars, but obviously robotic cars are not really sentient. But what about robots themselves and artificial intelligence? So Italian law has already found Google's algorithms guilty of defamation after linking someone's name to potentially defamatory links and posts. So even though it wasn't malicious, they were judged damaging all of the same. So what if a robot chooses to reveal secrets about you publicly, or to make comments about you based on incorrect data, or to beat you up because you insulted its mother? You know, these are the things that need the super lawyers at Geeky. And personally, I can't wait to see the movie that's based on this. I'd have Scarlett Johansson running around debilitating villains with a sub clause. And I'd probably run Ewan McGregor through a faulty transporter just for the fun of it.
Matt Armitage laying down the laws. And he'll be right back with Geek Squawks on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.